was ill prepared. I was prepared to be ill, though. The skill was there. Beginning, it wasn't about the ends. It was about busting raps and panning for something. Fucking acronym, cut the fucking act like you're happy. I'm fucking back again with another end. So what's up when it doesn't have to end? It ain't over till I say it's over. Enough with a say enough. Throw me to the wolves and close the gate up. I'm afraid of what'll happen to them wolves when the thought of being thrown into an alligator pit. I salivated it. Late as up, hands up like it's 12 noon. Nah, homie, holding bitches straight up. Wait until you dislocate a rotator cuff. Came up rough, came to ruffle feathers. Now egos, I ain't deflating. My last chance to make this so stadium in run.
Welcome to the Uncle Mike and Tom Show with your stars, Uncle Mike.
What's up?
And Tom Richards. What's going on?
Not much, man.
And this is episode number 65.
Ooh,
65 weeks in a row. We've been here to talk about independent pro wrestling, and we're doing it again this week right here on the show. We thank you for joining us. As this week we're going to have the Spider Monkey himself, Pinky Sanchez, on the line in just a little bit to talk about ISW this weekend and a bunch of different stuff along the way in his independent wrestling career. Very interesting person to talk to. So, looking forward to doing that. Plus, coming up in a little bit, we got all the news from the past weekend, independent pro wrestling, plus all the major results and upcoming shows this weekend and all that good stuff that we always do. Mm-hmm. And, we like to, once again, like we said last week, we like you to check out our brand new home as we are now part of ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. As you can go to ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com and sign up for their iTunes feed and Stitcher feed, and that's where you'll get our show every week now. So that means we'll be on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, Stitcher, all part of the Pro Wrestling Powerhouse family. And also you can find us on Twitter at Mike Tom Show. You can find my Twitter at TheTomRichards. And you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/TheUncleMikeAndTomShow. You can like us, like the page, and that makes us more popular. And you'll get our show on your timeline every week. And you can find us at our other home on the internet, www.IndieWrestlingWorld.com. /Uncle Mike and Tom, or just go to site and click on menu at Independent Wrestling or Indie Wrestling World and click on menu and go to Uncle Mike and Tom Show. It's got all of our shows archived there, all 65 of them archived for your pleasure to listen to. We've had a ton of great guests over the last 65 weeks. Who's who at Independent Wrestling World, plus all the good independent wrestling news and reviews of the great indie shows for you. Mm-hmm. And did I forget any other plugs there? I think that's about it, right?
I have no idea when it comes to that stuff.
Want to thank Pro Wrestling Ponderings this past week. I was with Kevin Ford on their Fan the Fan show, man. A fun hour and a half of talking wrestling, old school, indie, ECW, and everything in between. Go check that out. Yeah. Over at the fine folks at Pro Wrestling Ponderings.
Thank you, Kevin Ford. For having my partner in crime on. Getting to talk some old stuff.
Yeah. And I'll be at ISW this weekend, so we'll have live results on IndieWrestlingWorld.com. And I'll have live Twitter results of Dragon Gate USA Sunday night pay-per-view for you. We'll be watching that. And we're going to have our boy Mike Falco make a return appearance next week here on the show with a live ISW review.
Word up, homie.
So that's something to look forward to.
Yeah. Now that we're both walking and talking.
Yeah.
Back to walking.
Cleared. Going back to work this week. Mm-hmm. And with that, man, we say we go get Pinky Sanchez online and get this show kicking.
It's going to knock your socks off.
All right. Let's do it. And up first this week on the Uncle Mike and Tom Show, we have a special guest, as he is the two-time and current Interspecies Wrestling King of Crazy, the Spider Monkey himself, Mr. Pinky Sanchez. Welcome to the Uncle Mike and Tom Show.
Hey, what's up, Uncle Mike and Tom?
What's going on, man?
How you guys doing?
We're doing good, man. We're happy you can join us for a little while here tonight, as we're just
a few
days away from the big ISW Burger King and Ring 2 Double Whopper.
Awesome. You can tell I'm super excited. I'm shaking right now. I'm about to explode out of excitement, man. ISW, they run, you know, about 2 to 3 times a year. But every time they run, it's such a fun time, man. It's like everyone always talks about how we wish we could do more of these. So fans, you know, don't miss out, fans. You know, just keep it going, keep supporting ISW, the little engine that could, and come down to Danbury this Saturday, November 16th, and you know, enjoy yourselves, man. Heirlooms Arena. Or Heirlooms Theater. I don't know if it's really an arena, but it's our little arena.
It's an awesome little building, man.
I love that building.
It's like one of the best live atmospheres in wrestling, man.
That's exactly what I'm trying to push to the fans. You know, a lot of fans don't really. You know, some fans it's like I don't really know what certain people. What does it take for certain people to want to go to a show? And, like, it's just top to bottom, man, just the atmosphere over there at ISW is just the best. You know, that's enough reason to go.
Something special they got going on up in Danbury, Connecticut.
Yeah, man, it's so, this really is a special thing. I'm very, very happy to be a part of it, man. I think I would have a very different view about wrestling.
You've kind of made it like almost like your home. It like seems like Pedro Sanchez fits like a glove with ISW.
Yeah, you know, the thing is, like, it's not just my home, but it's like in wrestling, it's a dirty business, and I'm lucky enough to have a spot to train, and then I'm a New Yorker, so I'm happy to have a spot in New York to call home and train, and that place is called the Ludus Wrestling School. It's run by Joel and Elena Maximo.
Right.
And of that FAT fame, and you know, it's my nice little home to train and also to have a great time and do shows with great talent that's coming up, you know, because I remember when I was a young cat, you know, and you know, my school was a training center too, where many wrestlers came in, and I got to learn from a lot of guys. So I'm getting, fast forward 10 years later, and you know, here I am, you know, in that situation where I'm a guy who's been around a little bit, and it's just dropping knowledge to the younger guys, and it's cool, man. It's an awesome feeling. So you know, you got that, and to be able to train so hard and push myself and be able to go to ISW and just have ISW is a experience. You know, ISW is a great place. It's a fun place for me to work, and like just having like a place like ISW to be able to do what I do, man, and express myself as a wrestler and go as crazy as possible is just the best. It's awesome. I'm so happy, you know. I'm so happy and appreciative of the support of the ISW management, man, and you know, in this game, you don't have many people that are going to be so behind you.
Right.
You know, just based on your what you bring to the table. Those guys try to squeeze me for every single ounce of talent, every ounce of my being. Those guys tell me to go out there, and they've supported, man. They always. Let me go out there and do what I have to do, and never ever tell me to not do something. They want me to go out there and push myself,
right.
And that's the best thing about ISW, man.
Yeah, it's definitely cool to have the promotion behind you and pushing you. You'll be taking on Chris Dickinson this Saturday night. Is this the first time you've met up?
Nah, man, we've met up a few times before, I believe. We've had a few practice sessions together. We've wrestled over at for Force One / Fight Club taping. You know, we've tangled over at Dragon Gate USA. We've tangled before Dragon USA Evolve. I'm not too sure what it was. It was a scramble match. You know, it was a showcase. So this was before, you know, just before me and Dickinson. This was at the arena, and me and Dickinson were participants in that match, and we tangled there, and we also got our hands on each other over at down south at the Carnage Cup. During the tournament, I won because I'm a hardcore MF.
I was gonna bring that up.
You know what I'm saying? I am not just the king of crazy, but I guess you call me the king of the death match too. Not really. And then also, I believe we've tangled. I believe that was it. I believe that was the last time we've crossed paths in a ring with Carnage Cup. And the last time I won. This weekend will be no different, you know.
Yeah, man, you got a pretty good memory.
I try, man.
But so, what year did you actually make your debut?
2003,
so it's been 10 years, man. Jesus, that's like crazy that you've been around 10 years already.
Yeah, man, 10 years. I'm a seasoned. I'm not a veteran by any means, but I'm seasoned, cuz.
So, like, when you, being from the New York City area, who were actually the people responsible for training you?
I started over at the JPW school with Magic and Skinhead Ivan.
Right.
And then that school closed down, and I wound up finding a place called, at the time it was called American Wrestling Alliance, AWA, and not that AWA, guys, but, you know.
No, I know.
You
know, one in New Jersey.
A smaller fed up over in New Jersey. And I got to train there with a lot of different people. And then basically what happened was I got an opportunity to get taken under the wing very seriously by wrestlers like Azriel and EC Negro of the DRS.
Mm-hmm.
I got to learn a lot from Jay Lethal, you know, and but basically I can say I owe a lot, very much a lot to Azriel, the Suicidal Demon at the time. Azriel, he wrestles great wrestler.
It's still banging it out. He's another one. Still banging it out all these years.
There's a totally underrated
wrestler. He's just good, man. There's never a time when that man looks off, does he?
Exactly.
No.
He's really good, man. You know, those guys were doghouse guys. The school ran by people like Homicide, Low-Key, J-Train, Low-Life Louie, Lathan, you know. These are guys, you know, New York, you know, in the hearts of, as New Yorkers, man, those guys were kings, you know, and to be able to learn, from people like that, you know, it just makes great wrestlers, and I'm very lucky to have learned from people like Azriel, who got to train with people like that, and got to learn from people like those guys I just mentioned, and I wish I would have came in earlier in the game and learned from guys like that, because the training was just amazing, and the loyalty that they show each other is amazing. It's lots of wrestling lessons learned, man, from those guys. I'm very happy to have been able to, you know.
Yeah, that was a
close family, you know. They were close. It was my family, man. I'm very loyal to those guys, yo.
Yeah, it was a special time, man. Like, that was a really strong crew that came through the New York area indies, all at the same time.
Yeah, that's why I always try to just do right by those guys. Every time I go out there, man, just give it 100, you know, and stay strong, man, and just give it my all, man. Sacrifice. Go out there and just try to be the best, man. Everything, top to bottom, everything, every move means something, you know.
Man.
And I think it really shows, you know, in a world where there's a lot of, you know, a lot of craziness around in this business. A lot of kids not really knowing what they're doing yet, not having a place to really train, not being shown the way. You know, I was lucky enough to, since day one, I was hungry, man. I'm still hungry. I'm just as hungry as I was then, you know.
That's good to hear.
Yeah, man.
So it's been around a decade now. Why don't you talk, like, especially in the New York, New Jersey independent scene, why don't you talk about how it's changed over the 10 years compared from then till now, and what your opinion on the indie scene, what direction it's going?
You know, I think, instead of me, you know, there's still great things about it, but I think, like, nowadays, it's just a little too oversaturated, you know? You know, it's a little too oversaturated. Now, you know, you got a lot of kids who necessarily, if they would have started when I would have started, they wouldn't have gotten the opportunities they got. They wouldn't have gotten those bookings, or they wouldn't have got put on shows.
Man.
So, you know, you got those guys that, you know, they order their gear from, you know, high spots and shit, and they're not really trained, and, you know, I mean, I'd rather, you know, it's just so easy for these kids to just go to any $10 a session place and get put on shows, because you got a lot of these promoters. I guess a lot of these promoters nowadays, you know, they wasn't getting bookings, you know, so that their mentality is like, oh, well, I'll get a ring and I'll get a spot and I'll get a place to train and I'll charge $10 a training session. I'll run some shows, and it's just, you know, it's not good. There's no, people don't have to work that hard in order to get put onto shows, you know.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. I had to bust my ass, man. I had to pay dues. And not just me, but a lot of people, man, had to do a lot of sacrificing in order to get put on shows. And, you know, not me, man. I had to bust my ass for everything. You know, I trained for years before I got put on shows.
Right. So
it's like you're like the last, like the old guard, you know?
Yeah. It's different now, man. It's like these kids don't got no respect no more, you know. And there's a lot of people in New Jersey, well, I'm just going to stick with the New York area. We'll take that for example. You know, you got a lot of people in the New York area that don't show respect to the people that came before them. And it just boggles my mind that a place, you know, even a place that I came up in, like AWA, you know, they're still running shows, and, you know, they lost their school and everything, but it's like the people that they're using now, you know, these kids are not trained, you know, and they just don't have that respect, you know. It's, you see someplace, you're like, wow, you know, what has become of my home?
Yeah.
But you know, there are places, though, out there, like Fighting Spirit Wrestling, they're ran by the Maximos. It's called the Ludus. It's 133 29th Street, Brooklyn, New York. A little plug for them.
Cool.
Operation hours, 10 p.m. to 10 a.m., you know. That's a place, man. I go there whenever I can, man. You know, Joel Maximo welcomes me there. He lets me, you know, whenever he's taking care of business or he's not training his kids, you know, he puts a lot of faith in me to go there. Man, not just me, but others as well. He lets me pass on knowledge, man. Just like my trainers helped me out, you know, taking these kids that, you know, normally didn't, you know, they're probably doing shows, or they already have their gear already, but they just don't have, not that they don't have the, it's not that they can't do it. It's just every little bit of information and experience and learning, you know. You know, you can get in this business because you never stop learning. You just take it, man. These kids are so cool about taking, like, you know, experience, man. They have mad respect, and I love going there and training.
Cool.
So it's like, you know, that's a place, man. Like, if there was more places like that around this business, that would be awesome. Because it's not about the $10 a training session over there at the Ludus.
Yeah.
You know, it's a family, you know, and that's exactly what, like, you know, that's the best, man. That makes the best training morale. That's why a place like Takara puts out so many good students, man, because those kids have so much respect.
Yeah.
Those kids and the kids and the men. You know, because I'm not gonna call everybody. I'm not gonna say every. You know, I'm not gonna refer to or Chikara wrestlers as kids. You know, a lot of them have been wrestling as long as I have. You know, even longer. But then you do have like the newer wrestlers. Like I'll throw it out there. A little shout out to my boy Kobo, the Goblin Prince. You know, that's someone who I saw start from nothing, man. From, you know, rings. Setting up rings and chairs to now he's wrestling himself and getting a good, you know, he's out there doing what he has to do, and now look at him, mad entertaining, you know, crazy kid. I love him. Green Ant too, man. When I started training over at Chikara, Green Ant was just nothing. Green Ant was just, you know, he was a rookie.
Right. Speak of Chikara, man, you had quite the run there where they brought you in as, I believe it was... Yeah, doing the pink ad gimmick in the Carpenter Inn. Why don't you talk about that whole thing?
Yeah, man, so, you know, Aries hit me up and, you know, he was just like, we need to get this IAT here with my grandpa's, and I was just like, whoa, bro, don't mess with Abuelito's shit, and... Yeah, I was just like, yo, I got you, bro. Like, what do you need me to do? He was like, I need you to put on this brown suit. He's like, I need you to put on this brown suit and start infiltrating. So I was like, all right, word, man. So I put on the brown suit, fit like a glove. And I just started infiltrating, man. Just started kicking heads in. Because, you know, everybody was so used to me at the time, man. Like, I was just, you know, I look back on it, and I'm like, oh, wow. Like, what a little character I was, man. And then... And it was just like, all right, let's get mean, man. Let's get mean. Let's see what I can do. And training over there at the Chikara School, man, it was much, much good training, man. Training with people like Loyal Castagnoli, who's now Antonio Cesaro, who's just killing it, man, you know. And that dude, got to learn so much from him. Learned so much from Quack. Everything, you know, the intensity went up. The technique went up, you know, and there I was, man, just going hard, man. That's all it was. At your car, just go hard or go home. And I had a lot of fun, man. And you know what? It's funny because I just couldn't get that crowd to hate me, man. As bad as I was, they just didn't want to hate me.
Yeah.
I don't know what it was. I think the fans respected the hustle. They respected the hustle and the work rate, man. I guess I was like a Starscream or a Beast Man. A little wacky, you know?
Well, that just goes to show. You notice how, like, anybody, regardless whether you're a heel or babyface, when you're good, you're good, and the crowd's going to love you.
Definitely.
Most definitely.
But then it seemed that all of a sudden you seemed to just disappear from Chikara.
Yeah, man, I really don't know what happened, bro. You know, this is what happens, man. Wrestling, man, you know, it's a roller coaster, bro. One day you're doing things here, and then the next you're not, you know. I'm just the type of person, I'm not going to dawn on it, man. I just, you know, that door closed, whatever, and I just kept it moving, man. I kept going, kept trying to do what I have to do. Unfortunately, Chikara's not around no more. So, you know, or they're making a return or something. I'm not too sure. I've only seen little bits and pieces of what's going on.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Listen, if they're going to come back, brother, that's the goal for me, is to come back also. Oh, excuse me, I didn't burp. Oh, just think my heart skipped a beat. I just ate, guys, when you called me, so I'm kind of the food settling. But no, this is like, you know what? It disappeared, and the fans let it be known that there was not something they liked. You know, sometimes in wrestling, it's not always about what the fans want, you know, and unfortunately, Chikara is not the only place, you know, Chikara is no exception. You know, sometimes things have to happen for a reason. Is it right? Is it fair? You know, both parties will have a different, you know, saying about what it is. But I will say this, as long as I'm able to walk and do what I gotta do, you'll see me back everywhere. I will wrestle everywhere. I will keep hustling. You know, I'm a little older now. I feel like I still have, doesn't mean I'm not, I ain't done. I'm still a young man. I'm not in my 30s yet, you know? Yeah. I'm not in my 40s yet. I'm not in my 50s, you know? I'm still in my 20s. I'm ready to rock. So, you know, if Chikara does wind up coming back, you know, you will see this face, believe me.
Yeah.
That goes anywhere, you know? I'm not going to stop trying.
Definitely.
That's just how I am, man. Just go hard.
You're saying about your body. How's your body holding up 10 years in?
You know, I've had my days where I felt really, really messed up. But now, I'm learning that little less is more, you know, goes a long way, man. And, I get sore, you know, and all that. But, you know, my body's holding up pretty well, man. I'm still able to go in there. It's all mental, man. You know, my lower back is a little... my lower back, I don't know, it's so hard, man, as a wrestler, it's so hard to really describe how your body feels sometimes.
Right.
But just thinking, like getting hit by a Mack truck becomes, you know, you become used to it.
Exactly.
You know? So I would say, you know, I'm good. I've had worse days, guys, but I'm good, man. Like, going into ISW, like, I will be, today, today's Wednesday, right?
Yeah.
I spent Monday and Tuesday heading over to the Ludus to go train. I got there nice and early, around 4 o'clock. actually got to train with some new kids, like some kids that actually was their first day. And, Joel's already training them, the whole day. And I guess they were gonna leave, but then I popped up and they were just like, yeah, we'll stay, you know, if you wanna work on some stuff. And I worked on some stuff with the kids, man, and just told them, like, not just bumps and running ropes, but I told them, listen, the art of professional wrestling, the story that can be told in a wrestling match, something that's very important to me. I think, like, you know, me being 150 pounds, soaking wet, you know, for me to be able to make the fans forget that because I'm telling a story, I think that's what every wrestler should aspire to. Sure, you know, you got those guys that do those crazy, beautiful fucking moves, great athletes. But at the end of the day, it's a story, you know?
Yeah. Right.
It's like, look at, I hope I don't get in trouble for this, but like, let's just say, figuratively talking, not everybody's going to be a Rob Van Dam, you know?
Right.
And be able to last that long with that style. But also, if you think about it, not taking anything away from anybody, but think of someone like Ric Flair. You know, Ric Flair is going to get that money. I'm probably going to get a lot more money than a Rob Van Dam. But that doesn't mean that both aren't great fucking wrestlers, you know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
It's just a different, you understand where I'm coming from? Like a Hulk Hogan?
100%.
We'll put it this way, let's say a Hulk Hogan. A Hulk Hogan and a Ric Flair are making that dough, man. Millions, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah. But then, you know, I can't disrespect anybody for their style, you know. I don't want to come off as like like one of those better people are saying, oh, you gotta watch out with the flips and the spot monkeys and blah blah blah. So you know what I mean? So there's spot monkeys out there and there's guys that do flips, but you know what? You know, like, my thing is like, I love that stuff, man, and I love watching my Japanese wrestling and my juniors. You know, like, when I was first watching international wrestling, it was like watching, like, the J Cup stuff and everything, and that's the stuff that really got me into it. Like, the Benoit's, the Jushin, like, the great Sasuke's, you know? But also, like, I love fucking Hogan and Ric Flair and, you know, if I could be any wrestler, I would be, like, the great Muta, the man. He can wrestle, you know, he can work his ass off, and he has that gimmick, and he's just the best, guys. Like, I don't know, man. I think it's unhealthy, my obsession with this man.
Did you ever see any old footage of him when he first started out?
Mm-hmm.
Over here in the States from, like, Florida and stuff?
Yeah, I saw stuff like Ninja.
Yeah.
Black Ninja or Super Ninja. You know, I've watched pretty much every single stage of this man since like 85, maybe. I think like he started like 85, maybe. I would say the latest I could probably think of him starting would maybe be like 88. Maybe 88 was when he kind of started over in America, because I know he did. Puerto Rico.
He was in the early 80s down in Florida.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, like 84, maybe, 84, 82.
Somewhere around there.
I'm not one of those Star Trek Trekkie fans that know every little bit of information. I know you're not saying that, but, like, I just want to, like, just for callers to just be, like, I don't want callers to be, like, listening and just being, like, oh, he's a fan, but he doesn't know when he debuted on the, you know, what the weather was outside. Like, nah, I'm not one of those. Believe me, brother, I love watching that man, dude. My favorite thing, honestly, is YouTube. And I wish I could speak Japanese, because I know in Japan, all those Japanese people got so much footage of old New Japan stuff, and I love watching like those like specials on TV and just seeing like all that craziness. It's like, wow, I've never seen this before, and then. Looking at people like him, you know, wrestle. It's awesome. I love that style, man. I love fucking watching Great Muta wrestle. I think that's what I like. That's like the type of wrestler I want to be. Like, super entertaining, on top of the game, so different than everybody else, but so easy to digest to the fans, man. That's what makes that man so good. So good. He does it all, man.
So let me ask you this now, talking about wrestling in that way. As you mentioned earlier, you're a former Carnage Cup winner. Why don't you talk about wrestling death matches a little bit?
They're like, man, those things are insane, man. You know, I'm retired from them just because, you know, I'm going to wind up killing myself if I wrestle those type of matches, yo. There's no filter with me when I do those. Like, when I do those matches, I have no sense of caution. You know, that's just the way I work. So okay. I can't do those no more, man, because I got scars on my body. I got a couple of little nice little scars on my belly, one my nipple. I got a nice little scar on my back of my shirt, you know, like. My body, you know, I got a little nicks and cuts on my back, you know. My body doesn't like to scar. My body doesn't heal up very well. Really? You know what I mean? When it comes to a scar. I don't want to wind up with the, with too many nasty looking slugs on my back.
Who was the first place or person to ask you to do a death match?
I think my first death match was, me. Danny DeMonso at Cage of Death. I'm not too sure which one it was. It might have been Cage of Death 9 or 8 or 7. I'm not too sure. I really don't remember. But that was my first death match. And then the second round, it was like me, Nick Gage, Danny Havoc, and Greg Excellent. And that's like that match. That match got me like mad love and respect from all the guys in the back. Oh, they were like, oh, this kid is fucking crazy.
I remember when you were announced for that, and I was like, wow, I didn't know Pinky does death matches.
I probably would have told myself back in the day, like, yo, pump the brakes, bro, just take it easy, relax.
Yeah. So you mentioned CZW. How did you like your stay there? Why don't you talk about CZW?
I feel like the beginning was great, like, when Zandig was taking care of shit. But then as I saw, like, I started to gain popularity. I saw that there was a lot of snakes over there. And you know how it is over at CZW. They've had a lot of great wrestlers come in, and they had a lot of great wrestlers leave over bullshit. So right. I was no different. So I joined that elite class of alumni that got fucked over by the politics of professional wrestling. But, you know, I just want to... You know, not really worried about it now, man, because, like, there's so much other stuff I'm doing. But it's like, hey, you know, that's their loss, not mine. I'm not going to beat myself up over it, you know. If you buy my shoe tape, I definitely go really in-depth about my feelings about it. And I just don't feel like that's something, like, you know, I really need to give, like, too much energy to, like, oh, why do I get, you know, this and that. I know what happened, you know, sometimes people, you know, they don't want to get behind you, or, you know, politics is politics, bro, you know.
Right here.
So, you know, you just deal with it, man, you move on. And that's exactly what I'm doing, man. I got other goals I'm going to set, man. Honestly, like, my goal is not to stay in places like CZW. I want to go to the next level, saying, you know, let other people get that opportunity if they're going to get the opportunity. Hopefully, you know, it works out for them. I have a lot of good friends over at CZW. There's a lot of those kids now over at CZW that I got to help, you know, work out with and help train when I was over there. During my run over there, when I was living in Philly, going to not only Chikara school, not only the Chikara school, but like going to CZW school, you know, practicing, doing what I gotta do, you know. It's a lot of cool kids there, man. They got a place like CZW to go work and have fun at, you know. But right now, like the new shit in the Jersey, Philly area, because, you know, there's not really any wrestling in Philly anymore.
Right.
The new jump off is On Point Wrestling.
Yeah.
Over at that area. And I know they have a show November 23rd, which I believe is the weekend after this.
Yes, next weekend.
So hopefully, you know, I know that DJ High has his eye out on them. DJ has talked with them about getting a little business going. I'm not going to tell you what type of business is going on. Doesn't necessarily mean CZW, On Point, Double Shot, you know, fucking, you know, WrestleCon, whatever, but, you know, it's opening, because it's someone like, you know, if the ball, oh man, I almost got lightheaded saying that. DJ High, you know, DJ High, you know, this man runs CZW, you know, if he's looking at On Point and going, how do I get up in there, you know? So, like, you know, if it's opening his eyes, bro, you know, I think fans should definitely take note and start supporting On Point, man, because, you know, one of my favorite moments in CZW was, like, my little True Blood. We killed it, man.
Right.
No, and unfortunately, it was a feud that never got to see a finish over at CZW, but, you know, you can't hold down talent. On Point Wrestling, you know, they called me up, and then they called up Drew, and they said, we want to put you two in the ring. And at the time I was, I was ISW, I was the undisputed king of crazy, and I still am. You know, they said, we want to do you versus Bloody down. I was like, hell yeah, I'm down. I said, you know what, I got this belt. You know, network, let's get the word out there. I'll get ISW to get behind me. ISW helped plug the On Point Wrestling shows. ISW also booked other talent like Leon St. Giovanni. And they booked Jocka, Chris Dickinson, and booking a lot of people. On point, I'm saying, man, On Point's going to be that. It's going to be great, man. And it's coming to a full year of On Point, and it's just getting better and stronger, man.
Yeah.
That's funny, because I was going to bring up about your feud with Drew Blood in CZW, because it was one of my favorite feuds of your career.
Yeah. Thank you.
Excellent matches.
Still going on and On Point, right?
Those matches, I really, I don't want to toot my own horn, but toot, you know. I think those matches is a perfect example of two guys that really worked hard. Mm-hmm. We didn't do it because, you know, we were naturally athletic or naturally gifted. That was 90% mental. Those are just two strong-willed dudes going out there and just saying, you know, we're not gonna settle for anything less than stealing the show. And if you felt the morale in the locker room, if you felt the energy in the crowd, our matches were those matches during that time, you know. And I think I think it's a shame that nothing really came out of it over at CZW, but I am absolutely, you know, I'm just happy that, like, On Point is picking up the ball on that. And not only that, not only is me and Drew bringing that feud back and bringing that energy back, but we have, Drew has his, you know, like, is mentoring younger wrestlers himself, like Stan Styles and Jason Cross. And, you know, he's taking care of those kids, and those are, like, his little, not students, but, like, those are his little crew. And, you know, basically, like, they're at his back, and then here I am, I'm over here, you know, in New York, and I got my quote-unquote kids coming up down to On Point and getting an opportunity there, and, you know, we're being able to work together, and it's just working out so well, man. Like, a lot of fun stuff, man. I implore the word I'm looking for. I implore fans to look up On Point Wrestling, support it, buy the DVD, man. Especially get your hands on the October, or I believe it was the September show. Not too sure. I'm a little confused as to exactly what show it was. I'm not gonna like stand here and try to think about it, but yes, fun times was had, man. We're bringing it. Everybody in that locker room is bringing it, and it shows, man.
They're available on SmartMarkVideo.com.
Yeah, it's very available on SmartMark Video and on MP4. So you can just download it onto your computers. Exactly. If you don't buy it, I don't want to. If you don't buy it, you know. You know, and you're downloading it illegally. We got problems. You know. Yeah. Support it, man, you know? Support it.
That's right.
And
every little bit helps.
I realize you're gonna be watching the next generation of wrestlers, man. And these kids can go, man.
Another thing you did last month that was kinda cool is you were on the Full Impact Pro shows down in Florida. Well, talk about that trip and how that all came about.
Well, working with Evolve and Dragon Gate, you know, it was a lot of fun, man, you know, and it was a lot of fun, and I guess Sal wanted me to come down to FIP and do FIP shows, and I told Sal, hell yeah, because, you know, when you're a wrestler, you know, you gotta take every opportunity given to you. Someone wants to book you, you take it, man, especially someone like Sal, yo,
man.
I know there's a lot of eyes over on those shows, a lot of people getting picked up, and I'm gonna keep trying, man, you know, not just to get picked up by, you know, any company, but just to keep my name out there, you know.
Yeah.
I went down there and I had a blast, man. It was so much fun. Like, FIP is really doing, really, 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 really doing fun shows, man. And the guys, they got are really motivated. And Sal's very motivated, and he wants us all to just go out there and have a good time, man. He wants us to make that place our home also. And Sal really cares about his product, and it shows. It really does, man. You know, I go to a lot of shows where I see a lot of funny stuff going on. And sometimes, like I said, like the business has changed, but, you know, it's still the same, though, man. At the end of the day, it's all about entertaining and giving the fans what they want, man.
Absolutely. And
that's what I'm doing.
Now, man, how long was that car ride down to Tampa?
Oh, man, when I left my house, I think I left my house at like 1. And then we wound up getting there. Well, I left at 1 on Thursday afternoon. Traveled up to upstate New York. Got picked up in a little caravan, and we started picking people up along the way. And I think it was like, you know, I don't think the car ride was like any, it was very long. The car ride might have been like 20 hours.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's all, just 20 hours.
Yeah, and I know, after a while, you know, after a while, you get used to it, man. But I was comfortable. I was feeling good when I went. You know, I wasn't hurt or anything.
Yeah. Oh, I can imagine being on a car ride and you got nagging injuries on top of it.
Man, but it was an awesome ride. It was a fun ride, man. We were down there with a lot of cool guys in the car. I don't want to say who and for kayfabe reasons, but right. It was a very fun fun ride, man. It was very cool. It was a very smooth ride.
Cool, man. I thought it came off really good, man. You're just sitting at the bar drinking, getting involved.
Great.
I thought that was a great way to introduce it.
Yeah, that was great.
And that was. I got there, and I was thinking to myself, I was like, you know what, I'm here. Let me, you know, it's about to get down to business. Let's get down to business. Let me see what I got to do. And then they're like, Pinky, you know. You know, we got open bar, and, you know, just put it on Sal's tab. Like, oh, okay. So I had to stay there at the bar, and then, you know, and I saw things going down, man. You know, I had to set the injustice right.
Yeah, that was cool. That was a cool setup. That was a real good setup. I liked it.
I saw things going down, and I saw things happening. I saw things going down, you know, and I couldn't allow it. I couldn't allow the beating up on my boy Lince. That's BK love right there, you know.
All right, after a couple of technical glitches, we're back here. And
yes.
Something I wanted to ask you, another place you've worked a lot, you touched on it earlier, was Dragon Gate USA. You were part of the Dirty Ugly Fucks with Sammy Callahan and Eric Cannon. When you
official
talk about
PBR wrestler.
Yes, official Pabst Blue Ribbon wrestler. That's
like, no, like,
no gimmick.
Really, not a gimmick. He's an official spokesman for Pabst Blue Ribbon. And if you know this man personally, like I do, this man, he's quite the party animal. Well, not as much as me, but he's the guy. He's the drunk friend you always want when you go out, having your back. But, yeah, man, good times with that, man. I enjoyed my little run at Dragon Gate. You know, I'm looking forward to many more. And, you know, never say, my little never say die attitude, my brothers, I promise I will make a return for all my fans and, you know, I will make sure that I return bigger and better than ever.
Yeah, I definitely hope you do. You had some interesting matches in Dragon Gate.
Yeah, man, got to wrestle Sabu, got to wrestle A.R. Fox, got to do a lot of cool stuff, man. And it was really fun. It was really, really fun. I enjoyed it. So, like, basically, hoping many more to come, you know? keeping my eyes on the prize, man, you know.
Definitely.
Very thoroughly enjoyable experience, man. A lot of fun times there.
This Saturday night, man, Interspecies Wrestling at the Heirloom Arts Theater in Danbury, Connecticut. You're going to be taking on Chris Dickinson, man.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing I wanted to ask you, man, you had some really good matches with Addy Starr over that King of Crazy time. Why don't you talk about Addy Starr a little bit?
I didn't hear the half end of that question.
I said, why don't you talk about your series of matches with Addy Starr?
Yeah, man, she's a tough girl, bro. She's a tough girl, and she put a lot of wrestlers here in America to shame. And she's just mad tough, yo. Mad tough, so much ability, so much talent, and just so much heart, and just respect. I have so much respect for her, man. She, during my run as King of Crazy, I got to wrestle her, and the first time, you know, she came out winning. But once I got my opportunity again to go against her for the belt, you know, I wasn't underestimating her, and I brought it to her, man. And at Fighting Back Cancer, up with the C4 guys and the IW guys did a joint venture together, and we put on a really, really good match. And it was her last match in the States. Well, not the States, but in the continent. The North American continent, until she did some studies over in New England. Not New England. England.
England, yeah.
The England, the old England.
Not to be confused, not in Boston.
Yeah, dude, she's good, man. She's good, and those matches were insane. Those are the type of matches where you leave and you know more about yourself.
How about working in Lego Deathmatch, man?
It's fun, bro. I'd rather Lego Deathmatch than glass and barbed wire and shit. But those Legos are dangerous, brother, because people think, you know, you just take an inanimate object and glue Legos to it. Like, it's making it more dangerous.
Definitely, absolutely. And yo, man, I know what it feels like. You step on one Lego, man. That fucking hurts like a motherfucker.
And I'd be slammed on one. But you know, I'm a maniac, bro. I just tough.
Definitely.
Tough, man. I keep it real, man. I'm a tough customer. You know, I don't gotta say I am. I think I proved it already. You know, those Legos ain't no joke, man. Those matches ain't no joke. Any match where, you know, you take it to the next level, man, it's all about just how bad do you want it, man.
Absolutely.
You know.
Here's one for you. How pissed off were you that you're not in a PWI 500 this year?
Oh, I mean, you know, like, with the PWI 500, man, you know, it's cool, like, getting put on it, but I don't think any wrestler out there should really take that list seriously. And that's not a diss on PWI and what they do, because I do think PWI is a great magazine. I just think, like, let's just be real, PWI, it's, from what I've heard, you know, people buy their way into it.
Yeah, I've heard the same
thing. It's not the same. It's not actual... There's really no way to really rank all these wrestlers, man, unless you see all the wrestling out there.
Exactly.
You know, I saw some of the people that were on it. You know, I've never heard of these guys. Not saying that they're not good. Not saying that they don't belong on the magazine, but, you know, this is how it is, man. I'm not going to be mad about it. Honestly, when it came out, I saw, you know, a lot of wrestling fans were very angry about it, and it's just like, hey, man, you know, it's like with anything in life, man, you can't get too wound up on things.
Definitely.
You know?
I think the whole thing's funny, I don't know.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, I think the whole thing is funny, it's not the same as it was. You know, wrestling in general is not the same as it was, so you gotta take something like that with, like, you know, cool, I got mentioned, that's cool, you know. It just goes to show you, it's like, yeah, well, I didn't get mentioned, so, you know, probably some other people haven't gotten mentioned either. So it's like you got to really think about how they rank people.
Yeah.
A lot of people get ranked in certain numbers, and it's like, well, why are they getting ranked in a certain way if they've, you know, if this person has done so much more and entertained so much more and had a bigger buzz, and, you know, it's just stuff like that it doesn't affect me.
It's good to hear, man.
Yeah, it's like things like that. You cannot let stuff like that affect you, man. You gotta stay positive, man. If I was, like, a lot of things this year, man, I've realized is that I can't get too wound up on the craziness of wrestling. There's no worse enemy than yourself. My mouth and my actions can do more damage than any other person's rumors or political moves on me. You know, I just gotta keep going out there. Someone once told me that they were told by, happy birthday, by the way, Teddy Guerrero. And let's, Ilio, happy birthday to Trent Acid, man. Rest in peace, my dude.
Yeah.
Missed that dude, man. He was a really cool dude. Big influence on my style. Big influence on my wrestling. And a very, 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 very good friend.
Yeah, man.
But yeah, Leo, as I was saying, man, with, you know, you can't bury talent. Talent will always pull through, you know? But, you know, if you're talented, you're gonna exude it, you know, you can't bury it. Just the way you look at the crowd, bro, is all you need sometimes. So, you know, that's pretty much it, man, you know. That's my whole thought about the PWI 500. You know. Not saying that the PWI magazine itself is garbage.
Yeah.
But I just think this 500 list is a little outdated. It's not really doing anything for anybody.
I hear you, man. I don't think anybody's making more money on their paycheck for being higher in the PWI 500, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Really not doing anything for anybody. Yeah. Now, if it was, I would be like, hey, what the hell? But it's not like I'm not losing any sleep over it, believe me.
So for a guy 10 years in, man, you've worked like goddamn nearly everywhere. Like, what's next, man? What's your goal now at this point?
My goal is just to, honestly, my goal right now is to have a lot of fun, you know?
Yeah.
Have fun, man, you know, get in where I fit in. Put out work that I would really appreciate. I'm one of those that really love wrestling, even though a lot of veterans tell me that it's business. You gotta be in it for business. You know, I do believe in that. I do believe that if I carry myself as a businessman, I'll have more opportunities to wrestle places, you know, and,
right.
You know, then I love wrestling different places, and I think that's, I think it goes hand in hand. So if I do have to treat it so as a business, but it's still a business I love.
Definitely, man. That's I mean, there is something to that. You do got to treat it like a business. But I don't think there's anything wrong with still loving it, you know, and being a fan yourself.
I'm by no means am I an old man, but I do feel like an old man, you know. But that's just because I really, really do love this sport, man. It's a fun sport, bro. I love it to death, man. It's the thing that I look forward to when I wake up, and when I go to sleep, I think about it. I train hard. I have the Luger School over in Brooklyn, and I'm able to help other kids, you know, and even not just other kids, but help my other friends that have been doing it for a long time and getting in there and just training hard and pushing myself as an athlete, like any other athlete would train, you know.
Yeah.
So when I do get those opportunities like FIP and you know, Evolve and Dragon Gage and Carl, like, I'm gonna be ready to rock, man. I know next FIP shows is gonna be I believe sometime in December, more than likely early December. I heard rumblings about it, you know, and I do think it's official. The dates of the show, these are December 6th and 7th.
6th and 7th, yes.
All right, so it is out there, you know?
Yep.
All right, cool, so I don't have to act like, I don't know. Yeah, you know me, I don't want to I do like to plug shows and everything and help, you know, networking and promoting myself.
Right. There you have to be, man. It's the only way to survive.
Yeah, it's a different game nowadays. You know, people got ADD, so you got to keep reminding people. Hey, man, if you guys are fans of Pinky, you know, hit up a show, man. Show love. Hit me up on Facebook. I'm not too big. I don't have a big ego or a big head to not thank a fan for giving me kind words. You know, wake up in the morning and you see a fan hit you up and say, hey, man, you know, you coming up here? When you coming down here? When you coming up here? Saw you at the show. Enjoyed it. You know, maybe a kid will ask me, hey, man, I'm looking for a place to train. Where can I go? Or, you know, I feel like if I have a good head and good karma, you know?
Definitely.
Good karma, man, goes a long way, man. If I help out all these young cats now, when I'm old and broken and shit, and I'm just hanging around shows, and maybe I'm that weird old veteran in the locker room, and, you know, can't really do it like the younger cats, but, you know, I got a wealth of knowledge in my head, you know, I'm gonna share it, man.
It's cool to hear you giving back, because not everybody's got that attitude, you know?
Yeah, I have to give back, bro, because you know what, like, I've seen so many people take and take and take and take, and that's just not my style, man. I gotta give back, yo.
Business needs more people with your attitude.
Then you know what? There are a lot of people like that that give and give and give. And I'm very, very glad that the Ludus is a place like that, man. He gives, man. Joel and Elena, they give, man.
It's cool.
They give, man. They give those kids the shirt off their back, man. All they ask for in return is loyalty. Loyalty and you know, just basically loyalty and behave yourselves and, you know.
Got any other upcoming dates you want to promote while you got the opportunity here?
Well, yeah, man. You know, definitely want to plug ISW, man. This is I'm probably gonna go on and say this is the biggest match in my recent memory that I've had to date, man. Me and Dickinson, man. We're two dudes. We're two New Yorkers. Two dudes that kind of started around the same way, like the same type of wrestling. We both grew up with the Homicides, the Lowkeys, and the Hit Squads. We love watching our old school flair. We love watching our Japan. We're two dudes that pretty much the same love for certain wrestling, you know. But two different paths about how we came through into it, you know.
Right.
Dickinson is on top of his shit now. I do think if there's a story going into this match, and this is 100% real, guys. This is not me trying to sensationalize this match. I think Chris Dickinson forgets that I'm a bad man. And I think it's my I don't know whether it's my lack of, you know, DECA or Hyperball or Powerball, whatever the fuck it's called, or it's HGH, whatever the hell it's called. You know, that doesn't make a professional wrestler. That doesn't give you the skills in that ring. There's no dumbbell that's going to teach you how to rip a man's arm out of its socket or tap a man out. You can't lift 100 pounds and, you know, you can't bench. Ain't no bench. There's no bench bar that's going to teach you what I do. And, you know, maybe I like the nightlife more than I like the gym. But,
Don't we all?
Yeah, you know, take a little line from Dusty. Love that dude. But I am in that ring. I'm training. I'm in that wrestling ring, bro. And that ring is a weapon. That's a weapon. I'm more than willing to use on Dickinson. You know, I've seen him intimidate people. I've seen him put the fear of God in people that I would never think would be scared of him. I've had my run-ins with some bad men, you know. So I'm not scared at all. I'm confident, man. I'm going in there ready to see what he's about, and I'm pretty sure he's looking at it on the other end, thinking, "Well, I'm gonna go in there and see what this guy's about." You know, it's Ken versus Ryu, you know.
Definitely.
It's going down, man. It really is. It's it's rivalry. It's rivalry in its truest form. I have no problem bringing it to him. There's not a single professional wrestler on this planet that I would not get in the ring with.
This Saturday night, man. 8 p.m.
Saturday night is going to be real,
Danbury, Connecticut.
Danbury. Not Officer Danbury. But Danbury. 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 I know, it's so easy to say Danbury. Danbury, Connecticut. And I believe it's at 7 o'clock. Everybody just get there as soon as possible. If you have to stand outside overnight, like it's Black Friday, go for it.
It's going to be a big fucking party, man, whether you're inside or out.
Dude, those shows are the best, man. It's not just it's not just a wrestling show, man. It's an experience, man. It's an event. You know, those shows from top to bottom, how'd this guy get on? You know? It's not like that at all. It's everyone there is ready to rock and have that moment. There's not one person on that roster that's gonna half-ass it. Every single one of those matches is just absolutely out of control and always brings something to the table, whether it's a food fight, no food fight should be that funny or that exciting, you know. And then you have people like, Is He Dead Yet, he's the champion, and he's just having these insane, really physical matches and beating the shit out of each other. And then you have, like, what I would say is going to be, I don't know how crazy this match is going to get, man, but, you know, I'm going for the kill wrestling, hold for hold, move for move, pure wrestling, Mean Dickinson, you know. In other matches I've had over there, I wrestled Player Uno, and we went in on each other. Actually, the whole, just for the fans listening, you know, the whole Burger King of the Ring tournament is available on YouTube for free. So, you know,
wow.
if fans aren't sold yet on going, you know, go on YouTube, Burger King of the Ring, Interspecies Wrestling, ISW, you know, check it out, man, you know, I'm pretty sure you'll be sold.
Very good show.
It's fun, man. I love it. It's honestly the best wrestling out there. I'm not taking nothing away from Jakar. I'm not taking nothing away from CZW or FIP or Dragon Gate or XYZ, LMNOP, whatever. It's the best wrestling, top to bottom. It's so much fun. I really don't watch American indie wrestling. I'll catch a match here and there. But to watch a whole show, it's very, because not the same. Maybe because I've been around so much, you know.
Yeah.
I've been around for so long, it doesn't have that same, you know, magic. But, you know, I'll watch a whole ISW show, and I'll just love the hell out of it, man. It's so much fun to watch.
We always say here on the show, man, that if you've never been to an ISW show live, that it's an absolute must if you're a wrestling fan. There's nothing else like it live. It's quite the experience.
Yeah, if you go to an ISW show, two things. Sorry that we're going to spoil wrestling for the rest of your lives. You know, because you're probably never going to go to another show and have that interactive experience. And then two, you know, you're welcome, because you're going to want to go to the next one, you know. And it's just fun, man. It's awesome. It's the best shows. And if only you fans knew what happens, you know, before the shows and after the shows, you know. Friday night, I'm headed over to Connecticut to meet up with the whole family. We do our little pre-show ritual night out together, and which builds insane morale. It really does. It builds really good morale for the performers, and from the ring announcer to, you know, wrestler A's girlfriend, to wrestler D's wife, to to fucking, you know, referee, you know, to the ref, to the guys that come down from Canada the night before, to, you know, people like me, to the promoter and the bookers, you know, we all meet up and we're all friends and everyone's on the same level. We all have one goal, and that goal is to put on the best wrestling show, and we do it every time.
That's awesome when you have the little get-together the night before.
Yeah, we do it every time, man. We really do. There's nothing any of this ISW family, there's nothing we won't do, you know. We won't do for each other. We all watch each other's backs, and we all try to have the absolute best time we can.
It's all this Saturday night, man. Danbury, Connecticut, 8 yeah. p.m. bell time, man. Why don't you tell the people where they can find you on the Internet?
On the Internet, man, you go to Facebook, you go to search, and you look up Pinky Sanchez, P-I-N-K-I-E. It's not P-I-N-K-Y, it's P-I-N-K-I-E.
I-E.
Sanchez. And then you go on Twitter, and then you put in the same thing, and you find my Twitter. You know, just look around, you'll find my ass on Twitter. And then, you know, I just got on Instagram. I'm about like 2 years late, 4 years late, who knows. But I like it. I like Instagram. You go on Instagram, El Gran Sanchez. That's E-L-L-E-L. Gran, as in like G-R-A-N. That's Spanish for great. See my little great Muda marking out? Right? You see a little mark for Muda peeking out there? And then Sanchez, El Gran Sanchez. You'll see me on there, you know, and you know, you just add me, I'll follow. You follow me, I follow you. That's how I am with all my that's how I am with all my social media, man. If you're gonna show love back, you know.
There you go, man.
You follow me, and you just have fun, man. I always try to keep my social sites fun. I used to be a little crazier on my social media, but now I just try to have it be a little more friendly, because I see a lot of kids nowadays, you know, they're growing up and they're getting online, so I gotta keep it a little PG, I'll keep it PG-13, you know, and just have fun, man, hit me up, whatever, have fun, if y'all catch me on a bad day and I kind of joke on y'all for sounding silly or whatever, but yeah, man. I just think that, just hit me up on the social sites, man. I always update, my sites with shows that go on, throwing up posters, asking fans. Usually when I go train, I usually put up a little something, post it up. So for any of the reps out there that are trying to find a place to train or looking to train and get better in the New York area or Jersey area, you know, just send me a message if you guys ever want to go and train. You know, I have a spot to train, and we can all go there, and we could all get better together, man. You know?
There you go, man. Boom.
Yeah, man. I mean, despite what a lot of people say, you know, I don't sound like that bad, do I?
Not at all.
Yeah. You know, that's just, you know, It's always the loudest people that, you know, it's always the loudest people that people always believe, you know.
I hear you.
So, you know, when someone says something, you know, and they're in a position, or it's like the powerful people, you know, they say something, or the people with more influence, when they say something, that's when everybody believes it. But you know what? I'm not the type to, like, let things like that bother me. I just keep it hustling, man. I just keep it moving, man.
We appreciate you taking the time to come on the show, man. This has been fun.
I appreciate you guys hitting me up and giving me time to speak, and also bearing with me. You guys are gonna probably have to do a lot of editing.
Yeah, it won't be too much.
But in a nutshell, the KZ fans can't. In case any fans are a little lost right now, basically, I'm doing good, training a lot, enjoying the shows I'm doing, follow me on Pinky Sanchez on every media outlet, every social outlet. my goal, keep it fun, keep it funky, and pro wrestling love, bro. Oh man, pro wrestling love.
That's it, man. Thank you very much.
Thank you, man. And so Uncle Tom.
Tom and Uncle Mike.
Can I call the both of y'all uncles?
Yeah, definitely.
All right, so it'll be Uncle Tom and Uncle Mike. Or Dio Mike and Uncle Tom.
Yep.
So, yeah, man. So I guess, yeah, man. So if anything, man, just, yeah, man. I do this weekend, Saturday, on point the 23rd, FIP, December 6th and 7th. And, On Point's going to have a show January 4th. I believe it's going to be their one-year anniversary show. It's headlined by Matt Tremont versus Eddie Kingston. And that alone should be worth it.
There you go.
Yeah, man.
All right, man. Awesome. Be good.
Yeah, dude. You too, man. Take it easy, guys. And anytime y'all want to call me back, man, we can do this.
Definitely, man. We'll have you back. This has been a blast.
All right, man. If anything, man, hit me up on... Feel free to throw something up on my Facebook, man. Like a post, I'll share it with everybody so you could listen to more shows of you guys.
Definitely, man. But,
you know what I'm saying? I'll show you guys love too, man. That's what it's all about, man. Just helping each other out, man.
That's what it's all about.
Yeah, getting good wrestling out there, man. I had a really good time. You guys are really cool, man.
Awesome, man. So do we.
All right, man. Take it easy, guys, and good night. Enjoy the rest of the week and have a hell of a time during the weekend, man.
We'll see you Saturday night.
Yes. Oh, you guys will be there Saturday.
Yep.
Oh, awesome. So I'll see you guys then. Maybe I'll definitely link up with you guys. We'll talk a little.
Definitely, man.
All right, man. Take it easy, bro.
Later.
All right, later.
First thing I think we need to talk about this week is the passing of Roland Alexander.
Yeah.
Owner, operator of APW out in Hayward, California. He's one of the guys, man, he's been around a long time and made a difference for independent wrestling in Northern California. Because, like, back in the 90s, man, APW made a name for itself when there was very, very few indies making names for themselves at all if you weren't ECW, you know. And I even remember, like, in the mid to late 90s, going back, I was on AOL, if you remember them days. And I remember putting out a thing looking for tape traders, looking for APW VHS shows. And Roland Alexander himself actually got in touch with me, which shocked the hell out of me, you know, at the time, you know. But he's like, yo, man, he goes, he asked me where I was from. I told him I was over here in Pennsylvania. He's like, wow. He's like, I'm looking for a tape of a bunch of the guys on the East Coast that we like to take a look at that we're thinking about bringing in. So we set up a deal where he'd send me APW shows for, like, basically, like, tapes full of matches from different guys of the East Coast that they were thinking of bringing in. So I got, like, a whole bunch of old APW shows on VHS from the late 90s, man, straight from Roland himself, you know. And little did I know that in 2000 and 2001, they ended up doing a King of the Indies tournament where they brought in some of the best workers from all over the country to put against some of their own guys. And I had no idea they were going to do this, so I guess that's partially why you were looking at all these guys, you know. With this idea they were going to do this King Indies tournament. So that's pretty cool. You know, that was my little brush with Roland Alexander. So, it's
that,
cool.
Well, that card actually didn't have, that led to Ring of Honor, right?
Yeah,
not that, but the talent and everything.
Yeah, because, like, once ECW went down, like, that was a big chunk of RF Video's money-making machine, you know? So, like, they were looking for something to do to make money or replace it. And when Gabe and Rob Feinstein seen a tape it at show, between that and, like, some of the talent that they were taping, filming in, like, Jersey All-Pro and up in New York City, they thought, wow, man, there's a lot of good talent, then maybe we can start our own promotion. So definitely, man, without that King of Indies, there probably wouldn't have been a Ring of Honor. You know, so it did help a lot of guys get out.
Yes, it did.
But he started APW in 91. And a lot of people remember Roland Alexander from when he was in the movie Beyond the Mat.
Beyond the Mat.
When he took one of his guys, a couple, I think it was Mike Modis, wasn't it? And Tony Jones. Yeah, I think it was the Shooter Jones and Mike Modis for tryouts at WWF. And that was interesting. Little thing that he did. But man, like they ran the Gym Wars show, was at a little gym in Hayward, and a lot of named people came through there, like Michael Modis and Donovan Morgan and Frank Murdoch were like the original names that came out of there, and Great Khali Lee trained there, Crash Holly, Spike Dudley, everyone's favorite Vic Grimes. Like, man, a lot of guys went through there. And even, cheerleader Melissa. And even, like, Frank Murdoch, Michael Modis, and Donovan Morgan left there and started Pro Wrestling Iron. That was, like, a school in Northern California for a while. That all came from that. But, yeah, and then Great Khali trained there, and that's where he,
That's okay, yeah, that's where that came
from. He messed up that Brian Ogg, man, and they ended up getting sued and have to pay him $1.3 million. Yeah. So that's APW, man. They had a show for him Friday night, and it went from like 8 p.m. to like 1:30 in the morning. So that's cool, man. And without Roland, a lot of people probably wouldn't be where they were today, so.
Yeah.
Rest in peace, brother.
Yep, bro.
Roland Alexander. So besides that, it was like a weird week where it seemed like everything was breaking news-wise, like in the middle of the night, like the Roland Alexander thing came through at like 2 in the morning, and then a couple nights later at 2 in the morning, it comes out, Cassius Ono has been cut by World Wrestling Entertainment.
Yeah.
And thus, within minutes, it was announced Chris Hero was going to appear on Pro Wrestling Syndicate this Saturday night against Hurricane. I was like, wow, that was quick. Then a couple minutes later, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla announced that Chris Hero would be at All-Star Weekend. And then the hits just kept coming, man. IWA, Mid-South, Dreamwave, CZW, Smash, Dragon Gate USA.
Yeah. Back on track.
You know what? I was thinking about this the other night. I don't know if you remember this or not, because it was before we started the podcast. But when Chris Hero got signed, and I'm not proud that I said this, but I remember talking about it, and my prediction was that he would never make it to the main roster, and that he'd end up getting released over stupid shit, because he's had a history of getting heat in locker rooms everywhere he went. Remember we talked about that?
Yeah. No, I know you're talking.
And I've always believed Chris Hero's like the most talented motherfucker in the ring.
Oh, yeah.
But he's got a history of getting himself in hot water in the locker rooms over silly, stupid shit. And I don't know what the details are about his release.
Yeah,
you know?
I was going to say, just hearing
that. That might have nothing to do with it, you know, but unfortunately I did make that prediction. It came true, but it's all good because we get Chris Hero back, man. There's a lot of really good independent type dream matches to put him in. And he was really positive about it. Hero wrote a really nice piece, you know, saying it's just another chapter. And yeah, and he's going to be all over the place. And right off the bat, he is, man. They said this Saturday night, he's working Pro Wrestling Syndicate in Rahway, New Jersey against the Hurricane. And that's available on iPay-Per-View through ProWrestlingSyndicate.com. And Sunday, he's going to be at Dragon Gate USA in Brooklyn, New York. That's on iPay-Per-View. And he'll be taking on Johnny Gargano for the Dragon Gate USA Championship Sunday night. Also already signed, he's going to be at Dreamwave Wrestling on December 6th, taking on Prince Mustafa Ali.
That will be amazing.
Actually, that's the 7th. On the 6th, he returns home to IWA Mid-South to take on his old buddy Trick Davis.
The Trickster.
He's going to be a Pro Wrestling Guerrilla December 20th and 21st, where he'll be taking on PWG champion Adam Cole night one and ACH on night two. CZW announced that he's going to be a Cage of Death taking on Drew Gulak for the CZW title on December 14th.
I can't wait for that one.
Smash Wrestling announced that he'd be coming soon to Smash. They haven't announced their next show, but I'm assuming when they do, apparently he'll be on it.
Cool.
And he's also working for FUW down in Tampa on November 29th. So that's what's already been announced in the last few days, man. Chris here, all kinds of dream matches and good stuff coming up, you know. And for a while, this is going to be really fun on the indies, man, because you think like Adam Cole and Johnny Gargano and ACH and so many, like, first-time matchups and dream matchups.
Plus, even when he revives some old feuds with some people.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah.
Especially Eddie Kingston.
Eddie Kingston. I'd like to see Chris Hero come to AAW. I think that'd be really cool. That'd be something different. You know, him and Drew Gulak's going to be really good CZW. It's like a trainer versus...
That's going to be real fucking good.
...student type of deal. And so Chris Hero's back, so that's good for us. Maybe not great for his bank account, but it's great for us indie fans, man.
Truth be told.
Wrestling is art. Apparently is dead no more. Dead.
Guess it wasn't a work of art.
With the closing of Wrestling is Art, the only thing you assume now is Chikara has to be coming back, right?
You would know more than me. Weren't you saying something about some kind of dates or something?
Yeah, I remember thinking of that skate park last weekend. Something about dates for WrestleMania weekend for a King of Trios show or something.
I hope.
But Wrestling as Art is one of the few that people were paying to go see. They were doing all right, you know, drawing 100 to 300 people at their shows, you know. So if this one's closed, then I guess they're closing them all down and bringing Chikara back, because this would be one of the ones they'd actually keep around, because it was actually kind of maybe not... running them bankrupt, the little funds they have, you know. But during the main event, Sin Bodhi came out on Sunday and said that he owns this place and he wants it all shut down and closed up, and they actually started taking the ring down while Tim Donst and Cole Cabana, Drew Gulak and Cole Cabana were in the ring trying to have their match.
That's fucked up.
Yeah, and that's the end of the Wrestling is Art. We'll go over the results a little bit later when we go over all the results. But Wrestling is Art and Wrestling is Fun are the only two that have done any type of business attendance-wise. And now Art's gone, Intense is gone, Awesome is gone. Wrestling is Cool, last show was canceled. We haven't heard anything about a return date. Wrestling is Fun is coming up next weekend in Reading, Pennsylvania, so I guess we'll see what happens at that show.
Yeah.
If they kill off Wrestling is Fun, then I think they're almost all but dead, you know. Well, Wrestling is Respect also has a show coming up. So that's two shows, I guess, if you want to continue following this saga, the wrestling is.
They might both be closures.
Yeah.
But then, what were you saying, whatever the one out... The Midwest School of Rock had a show, and they were involved with...
Yeah.
That they announced a show or something, and...
Recently, they ran a show as a School of Rock, so I don't know if that means Wrestling as Hard's done or what. Because they didn't have no angle at their last show to kill it, but they didn't announce a return date. Crazy.
In due time.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's Wrestling as Art, man. So they're done. We'll see what happens next with Quack. My thing is, the bottom line, like we were talking about last week, I don't think it matters what name you put on the top of the promotion. It's all about the lineups and the guys you're using. And if they don't have no financing and no backing to bring in the talent they were using before, and they're just going to go with the same lineups they've been doing for wrestling, then Chikara's not going to be successful either.
It's going to be a tough battle.
Yeah. So in the long run, they need money, you know, and financing to make it work. If it's not there, then I'm not sure what we're looking forward to, what's going on. This whole wrestling is thing has just been an odd, odd story in 2013. It all kind of launched with National Pro Wrestling Day. When National Pro Wrestling is supposedly happening in this February, we'll see what happens. Maybe that'll be the return of Chikara. Who knows? But that's
a couple of months away.
Wrestling is art.
It'll be here before you know it.
Family Wrestling Entertainment announced they'll be returning to iPay-Per-View as they return on December 7th. More details on that show as it gets closer. Ring of Honor announced Paul London's been added to their return to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania on January 25th, 2014. And they announced they'll be taping TV, Ring of Honor, in Nashville, Tennessee at the Nashville Fairgrounds. On January 4th.
Wow.
How about that?
Just remember Dixie painted those walls.
That's right. And now Ring of Honor is going to come in and tape in front of them, man. How wild is that?
Holy fuck. Unreal.
Final Battle's coming up. So why don't we update this Final Battle lineup, man?
Sounds good.
Match is already signed for Ring of Honor's Final Battle. Main event from Ring of Honor World Championship three-way match, Adam Cole's defending against Unbreakable Michael Elgin and the self-proclaimed world champion Jay Briscoe in a three-way dance. Also, Ring of Honor World TV titles on the line when TV champion Matt Taven with Troop Martini defends against Tommaso Ciampa. Tag team attraction, the Young Bucks will take on Adrenaline Rush. And in a strap match, it'll be Mark Briscoe versus Silas Young. That's what's announced so far for Final Battle 2014. Coming up on December 14th from a New York City Hammerstein Ballroom. So far, so good. On paper, they're all strong matches, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Like, everything there will be really good.
That will be a good strap match.
Think,
you know what I mean?
Think Ciampa could come at her with the TV title?
Ooh. Taven has had it a while.
Yeah, it could be time.
He has. It's a tough one.
Let's see what direction they go with the main event three-way where they take each guy. I kind of like this Jay Briscoe coming back with his own redneck title and stuff. Yeah. I think it's kind of cool. Oh, I'm enjoying it. Shows have been pretty decent lately. Yeah, exactly. So it kind of works out in the end. And I think this should be a fun show. So far, so good. We'll see what else is added. And so far, no word about iPay-Per-View or anything like that.
All for that show.
Yeah.
It'll probably be like next day, right?
Yeah, they need to get their VODs up in a matter of days anyway. While we're talking about December 14th, we might as well update CZW and Cage of Death coming up on iPay-Per-View Saturday night, December 14th from Voorhees, New Jersey. And here is the current lineup for CZW 15. As we just mentioned earlier, CZW World Champion Drew Gulak will defend against Chris Hero at COD. World Tag Team Champions Blackout will defend the tag team titles against the Juicy Product of JT Dunn and David Starr.
That was quick.
Number one contenders to the CZW World Tag Titles, the Beaver Boys, will take on the newly Christian Murderers row of Azrael and Bandito Jr. In the Cage of Death itself, it'll be the Nation of Intoxications, Danny Havoc, Devin Moore, and Lucky 13, taking on Drew Blood, Ron Mathis, Rory Mondo, and Matt Tremont. And it'll be CZW World TV Champion Alex Colon defending against Shane Strickland. It'll be Christina Von Erie versus Kimber Lee. And it'll be Greg Excellence with Mama Excellence versus Pepper Parks with Cherry Bomb. With his body of hair against the rights to Cherry Bomb. That's all coming up, CZW Cage of Death. December 14th.
Not just his body of hair. He actually has to get in shape and lose weight,
And that's the updated lineup for CZW's Cage of Death. I'm sure we'll talk a lot more about that in the weeks to come. Here on
I mean, I don't care, but wow, is that fast for Juicy Product to get it?
Yeah,
I thought everything was building. I thought Beaver Boys were going to be getting the shot.
Well, I figured he had to do Beaver Boys against Four Loko, you know?
Well, yeah, now.
Yeah.
But I mean, the way it was going, I thought they were going to get by them to get the title shot.
Yeah, I agree. We'll talk more about CZW East ahead.
That's going to be great, though.
Probably get DJ High to make an appearance on the show, too.
The boss.
The boss. As we get closer to Cage of Death. See if there's anything else we need to hit here before we get on to what's going on and what's coming up. Oh. As we are recording this on Wednesday night, November 13th, it's 8 years ago today that Eddie Guerrero passed away.
Yeah, that's weird. Just doesn't seem like 8 years.
No. You know.
Yeah.
Eddie Guerrero, one of the good guys.
Probably one of the greatest workers you ever witnessed.
Without a doubt, man. I remember he was on the first time I went to ECW Arena, it was for ECW Three-Way Dance in April of 95. And he was on that show against Too Cool Scorpio for the TV title. That was, and he defeated Scorpio for the belt. That was the first time I ever seen Eddie Guerrero live, and it was the first time I ever seen a title change live in my life, too. I remember me and my buddy high-fiving, because we'd never seen the title change live in our life in wrestling until that day, and like, he just blew me away, Eddie Guerrero.
Well, that's because you always went to WWE shows and WWF. They never did no title changes.
Exactly, on house shows in Scranton. I'll never forget that, my first live title change. But I'll also never forget, man, a couple months later when we started hanging out at the hotels with the wrestlers and shit, I remember Eddie Guerrero, the last night Eddie Guerrero, Dean Malenko, and Chris Benoit were at DCW, they signed 90-day contracts with WCW. And everybody at the time thought, all right, they'll work the 90 days there, they'll be miserable, and they won't use them, and then the contract will be up, and then they'll be back. And in hindsight, miserable. I mean, yeah, because everybody was miserable in WCW, you know? And in hindsight, I guess that was probably silly thinking, because at the end of the day, once they got paid that good money, long as WCW offered them anything, they were going to keep re-signing. And obviously that's what did happen. They were never back in ECW again. But I remember the last weekend they were there and being at the hotel, man, got to spend some time with Eddie Guerrero, and he sat down with me and a couple of my buddies, man, like we were lifetime friends, and he told us like the whole history, him and Art Barr, and how he found out the day Art Barr died, and such a really cool down-to-earth dude, like hanging out with strangers, like we were best friends, man. I always remember about Eddie Guerrero, like having tears in his eyes as he told us about Art Barr, and him dying and all that, and it's a shame that Eddie ended up with the same end, you know. It was one of the good ones 8 years ago this week, man. Eddie Guerrero. And I'll also never forget him standing on the top of a ladder and Dominic trying to shake it from the ground. He was feuding with Rey Mysterio or who was Dominic's father.
Uncle Eddie. Yeah, that was great. I'll never forget that pay-per-view.
Awesome.
Cracking up laughing when that kid was shaking the ladder. Unreal.
Yeah.
Remember we were laughing and joking before it even happened? And I says, watch, the kid's going to... Remember, one of us said, watch, the kid's going to get in the ring and do something. I'm like, nah. Somebody's like, nah, nah, nah. There he is, shaking the ladder.
That's right, man.
Oh, God.
All right, so what do you say we get into what went down last weekend on the independent wrestling scene?
Sounds good.
All right, let's start with the big show of the weekend. Said there's big shows every weekend all month in this big month of November. And it was House of Hardcore, Tommy Dreamer's House of Hardcore, this past Saturday night in Poughkeepsie, New York, where they drew between 1,600 and 1,700 to a jam-packed Mid-Hudson Civic Center. Yeah.
Good for them.
Yeah, it was right around what they did the first time there. And the two shows in Poughkeepsie drew better than the show in Philly.
No.
So I think they're going to be staying in Poughkeepsie for further shows. It would be my assumption.
Well, setup-wise, the one in Philly could have packed that much.
Oh, yeah. They had both bleachers open, you know. They announced like 1,200, but I don't know, man. I was there.
No, I remember.
There wasn't like 1,200 people there.
We were talking with Mike, talking about that on the way back and stuff.
And this comes, I hit fucking Ring of Honor right on the money with 700 last Philly show. Let me tell you, there was not 1,200, 1,300 people there for that. It was under 1,000. We'll leave it at that. But anyway, House of Hardcore returned to Poughkeepsie, New York to 1,600 to 1,700 people. And here's what went down. Sonjay Dutt defeated Ben Ortiz with a backflip into a double stomp. It was Matt Stryker defeated Lance Enoa when Stryker rolled him up and hooked the tights. Carlito and Rosita defeated Stevie Richards and Terror after Rosita nailed a moonsault on Stevie. In a hardcore rumble, pinfall, submissions, and overtop elimination, the winner was Vic Delicious. MVP was on the show. He defeated Luke Gallows with Amber O'Neil with a Shining Wizard. It was Devon and Matt Hardy defeating Homicide and Eddie Kingston. When Devon sets up a ladder with Matt Hardy, nailed a double urinage through the table. Rhino defeated Kevin Steen via gore. And a three-way dance, Tony Nese defeated Alex Reynolds and Petey Williams with a 450 splash on Reynolds. Tommy Dreamer and Terry Funk defeated X-Pac and Lance Storm after Terry Funk hit the airplane spin with the ladder on Waltman and Storm. And I know Sean Waltman got busted hard way from that and had to get a bunch of stitches and whatnot. But the big news of the show is post-match, Bully Ray came out. Yes, that Bully Ray. And beat up both Funk and Tommy Dreamer. And he challenged Dreamer for a match on December 30th. TNA's One Night Only, where they present Old School. In an Old School street fight with Fall of Counting Anywhere. Devon came out and joined Bully Ray to hit Dreamer with the 3D. Enter Sandman blasted through his sound system. Sandman came out, hit the Dudleys with his cane, but got overwhelmed. The Dudleys left the ring victorious, declaring tonight's House of Hardcore 3D. And so that was the big news, is TNA's going to be running to Poughkeepsie. Yeah. Mid-Hudson Civic Center on December 30th, taping one in their one-night-only pay-per-views, and having Bully Ray versus Tommy Dreamer. And we haven't seen this show yet because it's still not available on rfvideo.com on the VOD yet. But it should be coming soon. When it's out, we'll take a look at it and give you a further review.
Yeah. That would have been fucked up to be there live and him come out.
Yeah, that would have been cool.
That would have been a blast.
I just hope it's on the VOD and they don't cut it off. I don't know if it's going to be or not. I got a feeling it's not going to be. But I think TNA's already showed clips of it on something on their site or something, so I think it's out there somewhere.
Oh, okay.
We'll see. Find out.
You can use the footage. We get to use it on the, We'll see. The hell do they fucking care by now?
And House of Hardcore, they plan to run again in the first quarter of 2014. Also going on this past Saturday night, C4 returned to Ottawa, Ontario, Canada with Saturday Night Slam Masters Volume 2. And here's what went down. Rocksteady Alex Vega used several underhanded tactics to score a win over one half of the C4 tag champs, Jay Rukin. And something of a shocking win, All Ego Ethan Page cleanly pinned Michael Von Payton. Prior to the next contest, Twiggy made his way to the ring, looking very different from his previous appearances. In a bizarre speech, he addressed the audience and his opponent, Brandon Slayer, from a chair in the middle of the ring. Disrespecting his opponent, officials, and the audience brought a much different reaction than he had received in several years. Twiggy showed a much stranger side. In the match, Twiggy defeated the young Slayer in controversial fashion via a strange submission move. Official Bacchaeus countered the unnamed move, citing that since it was not a choke, it would be allowed. And an absolute massacre in the first appearance since unceremoniously losing the C4 title, Speedball Mike Bailey destroyed Ryan Rogan. Huh. It was C4 champion hacker Scotty O'Shea narrowly escaping and overcoming the challenge of superstar Shane Hawk. Shane Hawk suffered a broken nose during the match. But O'Shea rolled him up while holding the ropes for a three count. Dirty Bucks Belmar pinned Sexy Eddie in an entertaining and some would say repulsive encounter. Bucks scored the win and continues his winning ways. And in the main event, one of the greatest matches being called in C4 history, the Super Smash Brothers survived a 40-minute plus four-contest elimination tag team to become the number one contenders to the tag team titles. The debut in Radioactive Wave while being eliminated first certainly made an impression. TDT was out next, however, in their 30 minutes in the match, they viciously assaulted all six of their opponents to the point of injury to some. And the final two left were the after party and the Super Smash Brothers. And with their win, they will receive a future C4 Tag Team title opportunity. C4 returns Saturday night, November 23rd. 260 MacArthur Road in Ottawa, Ontario, Canada for their 6th anniversary spectacular. Already announced, Speedball Mike Bailey collides with Psycho Mike Rollins. And a whole lot more to come in just 2 weeks in Ottawa.
Well, Mike Bailey's losing it, huh?
That seems to be where they're going with that. Give him a little edge to his character.
Yeah, cool.
And also this weekend we had Wrestling is Art. We talked about what happened earlier. Here are the results. Saturday night they were in Haverhill, Massachusetts. The Los Plantanos defeated the Los Ice Creams. Drew Gulak defeated Kobold. Frank O'Rourke defeated the Estonian Thunderfrog. Green Ant defeated Sydney Bacabella. Jervis Cottonbelly defeated Kodama. Max Smash Master defeated Assailant, and Colt Cabana defeated Tim fucking Donst. And then Wrestling is Art came to East Greenwich, Rhode Island. And on Sunday afternoon, you see the Battery defeat the Los Plantanos. Jervis Cottonbelly defeated Tim Donst. Frank O'Rourke defeated Antonio Thomas. The Estonian Thunderfrog defeated Chuck Taylor. Shinron defeated Juan Francisco de Coronado. The Colony of Assailant and Green Ant defeated the Devastation Corporation. And Colt Cabana versus Drew Gulak went to a double pin draw. They wanted to continue the match, but that's when Tim Bode came out and unmasked as the owner of Wrestling is Art. And revealed that he owned it and that it was over and he was closing it down. And they actually took the ring down while Colt Cabana and Drew Gulak were trying to wrestle.
Oh, boy.
And that's the end of Wrestling is Art. And finally, this past Sunday night, our buddies from Battle War returned with Battle War 14. And here's what went down. It was Leon Saber defeated Soul Man Velvet Jones in the bonus match of the evening. Frankie the Mobster defeated Scott Jagged Parker by disqualification. The end of the match came when Shane Matthews entered the ring with a chair, which prompted Parker to grab it. And with that momentum, fans saw the chair swing back and hit Frankie the Mobster in the head. Shane Matthews made his big magic security make their way into the ring to contain Frankie, which then brought out Twiggy, who leaped off the top rope into the melee, with Shane Matthews retreat, and Parker was left in the ring alone and fell Frank in the Mobster's wrath with his credibility statement. Post-match saw the Rock and Roid Express issued a challenge to 3.0 for Battle War 15. The Tankman defeated Travis Toxic and Electrico in a tag team action. It was noted before the match, Electrico was replacing the injured surfer Mitch Thompson. Giant Tiger defeated Vanessa Craven in opening round action of the Battle War Championship Tournament to advance with help from Big Bad Quentin. Prior to intermission, Ryan Rogan stormed the ringside and challenged Shane Hawk to a match. Rogan claimed that if he could beat Hawk, he would take his spot in the finals of the battle or tournament. If he was successful, he would leave Battle War forever. Once the bell rang, Shane Hawk was able to defeat Ryan Rogan in under 60 seconds with his trademark palm strike.
See you later.
That's weird. Ryan Rogan got squashed both days, right, Saturday and Sunday on the Canadian shows. I wonder if maybe he's hurt or he's leaving. We'll have to find out more.
Yeah.
Player Uno defeated Tank Rukin in the opening round of the Battle War Championship Tournament to advance. Big Bad Quentin defeated returning Triple X Sexy Eddie in the opening round of the Battle War Tournament title with the help from Johnny Tiger.
That's probably going to be great.
In a winner many already calling the greatest match in Battle War history, Shane Hawk and Dirty Buck Spelman were able to work as a team to defeat TDT.
Wow.
As Beef Wellington was bringing an end to tonight's festivities, TDT charged the ring and began their assault on the former wrestler. It appeared as if Dubois and Saint-Jacques were finally going to put an end to Wellington when the Green Phantom made his way to the ring and an all-out brawl began. After the entire roster spilled out to separate all four men, Beef Wellington stated that he will see TDT on December 8th with his partner Green Phantom.
All right. That'll be a good card.
And that was Battle War 14. They'll return December 9th with Battle War 15. Make sure you check them out. On Facebook, yeah, under Battle War, or go to smartmartvideo.com and check out their DVDs, man. And that's what went down this weekend. So now we just say we look ahead to what's going on this week coming up. We will start Ring of Honor this Friday night. Returns, they got a weekend double shot, and they return to Dearborn, Michigan Friday night for night one of Ring of Honor's Pursuit. And on this show in Dearborn, in the main event, the Ring of Honor world title is on the line when champion Adam Cole defends against Dearborn's own Jimmy Jacobs. For the world TV title, champion Matt Taven will defend against Zach Gowen. Die Hard Eddie Edwards takes on Jay Lethal. Mark Briscoe takes on Michael Elgin. It'll be Roderick Strong one-on-one against Davey Richards. It'll be ROH Tag Team Champion Kyle O'Reilly versus ACH versus Caprice Coleman in a three-way. And it'll be Tag Champion Bobby Fish versus T.D. Thomas versus Cedric Alexander in another three-way. Also scheduled, Outlying, Silas Young, and Tommaso Ciampa. And that's 7:30 Friday night in Dearborn, Michigan. And then Saturday night, it'll be Ring of Honor back in Columbus, Ohio, at the Ohio Expo Center, 7:30 p.m. bell time, already announced. The Red Dragons will defend the tag titles against Caprice Coleman and Cedric Alexander. And a four-corner survival will be Roderick Strong versus Jay Lethal versus Matt Taven versus Michael Elgin. Proving ground match will be Adam Cole versus ACH. And a tag team challenge will be the American Wolves versus Outlaw Inc. Tommaso Ciampa versus Mark Briscoe. And Silas Young versus T.D. Thomas. Sound like two fun lineups for this weekend, Ring of Honor. At least good shows to watch. A lot of strong matches. Mm-hmm. Be interested to check them out. Mm. That's not the only thing going on. ISW returns. Interspecies Wrestling. This Saturday night, 8 o'clock, Danbury, Connecticut, in the Heirlooms Arts Theater. They're having Burger King in a Ring 2 Double Whopper, crowning tag team champions. In the pre-show, they'll have a House of Hardcore showcase match with Ben Ortiz versus Vic Delicious, and they'll have the Sriracha Pro Showcase. And then on ISW, first round matches in the tag team tournament will be Katsuni and Shenron taking on the Tremendous Investigation, Inc. of Dan Barry and Bill Carr. It'll be Team BFFs of Jigsaw and Gran Akuma versus TDT. It'll be the Glad Boys versus the Bad Boys. And it'll be the Food Fighters versus Leon St. Giovanni and Jaka. They'll then also have the semifinals and finals of that tournament to crown tag team champions. The ISW title will be on the line with champion Izzy Dead Yet defends against Dirty Bucks Belmar. And the King of Crazy title will be on the line when champion Pinky Sanchez defends against Chris Dickinson. Oh, this Saturday night, Burger King Ring 2 Double Whopper at the Heirloom Arts Theater in lovely Danbury, Connecticut. Tickets are just $15 at the door. And I'll be there live, man. We'll be there live this Saturday night, and we'll have a live review right here on the show next week if you can't be there in person. Like Uncle Mike. But if you can't go anywhere in person, there's a couple of pay-per-views we're going to hit right now. First up, Uncle Mike's favorite pro wrestling syndicate will be presenting Wrestle Bowl this Saturday night on iPay-Per-View. Go to their website, betonails.com, at the PWS Wrestle Bowl this Saturday night. Guest commissioners will be the Insane Clown Posse.
Get real.
And a six-man tag team lumberjack match. It'll be PWS champ Bonesaw, Kevin Matthews and Devin Moore against the Reynolds Brothers and R. Kim, which is Atu, and other promotions. Special attraction match, there'll be Big Van Vader versus Just Incredible. Suicidal six-way titles online with champion Craven Varro defends against the Drunken Swashbuckler, Fasan, Brian Axel, the Lifeguard, and Matt McIntosh. There'll be the Blue World Order versus the Untouchables, Hurricane Shane Elms versus Chris Arrow. It'll be New Japan's Takaki Watanabe versus Mario Bakura, Starman versus Dan Moff, and a whole lot more. This Saturday night, it's Wrestle Bowl in Rahway, New Jersey.
Well, if ICP is the guest commissioners, they're going to close that place down.
They're trying to draw from a different demographic. Also on pay-per-view this Saturday night, Dragon Gate USA is back. Saturday and Sunday night, they got a live iPay-per-view. Saturday night, they're in Queens, New York, for Fearless 2013, 9 p.m. bell time, at the Queens Burroughs Elks Lodge. And here's the lineup. Open United Gate Tag Team Championship is on the line when the champions, the Young Bucks, defend against the Bravado Brothers. Non-title match will be Opener Freedom Gate champion Johnny Gargano versus Masaki Muchozuki.
So I guess we're winning that.
And open the Brave Gate title match, Genki Horiguchi defends against Rich Swann. And a four-way freestyle for the Evolve title, A.R. Fox defends against Shane Strickland, Andrew Everett, and Fire Ant. And a special challenge match will be Jimmy Susumu versus Anthony Nice. It'll be Trent Beretta versus Chuck Taylor. Ricochet versus Biff Busick.
Wow.
Collab Conley versus Steven Walters. And John Davis versus Mr. Touchdown.
Cool.
And then, on Sunday night, they'll be back on iPay-Per-View with WWN Live. Dragon Gate USA will be in Brooklyn, New York, at the Brooklyn Lyceum. 7 p.m. bell time, and here's the lineup. Open the Freedom Gate title will be on the line with champion Johnny Gargano defends against Chris Hero. Gargano had a statement that said they don't need a hero. They already have one in him. Ricochet will take on Anthony Nice. The Young Bucks will take on A.R. Fox and Masaki Muchizuki. It'll be Trent Beretta versus Rich Swann. It'll be Genki Horiguchi and Jimmy Susumu versus the Bravado Brothers. Jigsaw and Fire Ant versus Collab Conley and Andrew Everett. Chuck Taylor versus Mr. Touchdown.
Fuck.
John Davis versus Steven Walters. and more this Sunday night in Brooklyn. That's the Dragon Gate USA return. Both shows available on iPay-Per-View through WWN Live. And we will have a live review of next Sunday's iPay-Per-View. Probably won't get the Saturday night show in before next week's show, but they're always good. Check them out if you're home Saturday night.
Oh, yeah.
And we will have a live review of IWS. We'll also have live results of IWS at www.indywrestlingworld.com, our home base, as Mr. Michael Falcone will be doing that this Saturday night.
Good job, Mikey.
And finally going on this Saturday night, it's the yearly Carnage Cup. IWA Deep South, mother. They're going to be running a doubleheader. Saturday night, November 16th at 8 p.m. and Sunday afternoon, November 17th at 1 p.m. in Tullahoma, Tennessee at the SWF Arena. And here are your first round brackets. In a hostile death match, it'll be John Rare versus Christian Cross. In a Pat's Purgatory death match, Freak Show versus Yukon Jack. In a Nails in the Head death match, Bryant Woods versus Jay Impact. In a Smash Pow Boom death match, it'll be Tank versus Matt Tremont.
Tank.
Yeah. In a Death Sea Circus net death match, it'll be Spider Boudreaux versus J.D. Horror.
Haven't heard that name in a while. Spider Boudreaux.
No.
God.
X marks the Spot Tubes match. John Wayne Murdoch versus Josh Crow. In a Carpet Strips board match, it'll be Ron Mathis versus Ganger. In a House of Glass match, it'll be American Kickboxer 2 versus Sid Fabulous. And they'll have three non-tournament matches. One will be Fans Bring the Thumbtacks and Light Tubes death match featuring Big Donnie versus Acid versus Terry Houston versus Big James Mayhem versus Cornbread. And a multi-man Lucha elimination match with Christian Hame, Jeremy Flint, Caden Sade, and more. It's all in Tullahoma, Tennessee, if you're into death matches. It's the place to be this weekend. And that's IWA Deep South. The one time a year we'll actually mention them here on the Uncle Mike and Tom show, man.
I don't even know half those guys.
They know. While we're talking about lineups, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla readjusted their lineups with Chris Hero. And here's their lineups for All-Star Weekend Night 1. Adam Cole defends the world title versus Chris Hero. The Young Bucks team up with Kevin Steen against AR Fox, Ricochet, and Rich Swann. It'll be Johnny Gargano versus Davey Richards. It'll be Best Friends, the Chuck Taylor and Trent Beretta, versus Eddie Edwards and Roderick Strong. It'll be ACH versus Michael Elgin. Candice LeRae and Joey Ryan versus Rockness Monsters. Tommaso Ciampa versus Drake Younger. And Brian Cage versus Tony Nese. And then Saturday, December 21st, it'll be the winner of Adam Cole and Chris Hero defending against Johnny Gargano. It'll be the Young Bucks and Kevin Steen against Candice LeRae, Joey Ryan, and Drake Younger. It'll be A.R. Fox and Rich Swann versus the Dojo Brothers. The loser, Adam Cole versus ACH. I'm sorry, it'll be ACH versus the loser, Adam Cole and Chris Hero. It'll be Best Friends against the Unbreakable Effing Machine.
Oh, wow.
Davey Richards versus Ricochet. Peter Avalon and Ray Roses versus B-Boy and Willie Mack versus the Rockness Monsters. And Tommaso Ciampa versus Anthony Nese. All-Star Weekend, December 21st and 22nd. Or 20th and 21st, I'm sorry.
Well, we're on Pro Wrestling Guerrilla. We just got done watching Battle of Los Angeles Night 1 and Night 2. And
yeah.
Mother of God.
Are they great?
There's shit on there you've never seen before.
Yeah. Just pick them up. You'll enjoy them. Both nights are just loaded with great matches.
There's not one... Like, if anybody ever watched these shows, well, this wasn't a good... Every fucking match was fucking good from top to bottom.
And speaking of tournaments, we're going to end with a couple more Sunday shows here, both featuring tournaments. First Anarchy Championship Wrestling returns. On Sunday night, November 17th, to the Mohawk in Austin, Texas, with a 6 p.m. doors. And they'll be doing the Lone Star Classic 2013. It's a 12-person tournament. The first rounds are 4 3-ways. The second rounds are 2 1-on-1 matches. And the final will be 1-on-1. Here's who's in it. Jason Silver, Thomas Shire, JoJo Bravo, Davey Vega, Barrett Brown, JC Bravo, Kevin Douglas, Steve, Pierre Abernathy, Sean Vex, and two more spots to be determined. In non-tournament matches, 4-way, 1-fall to a finish. Winner gets a championship match. Guilty by association will be Scott Summers versus Angel Blue versus Jessica James versus Darren Childs. Tag team titles are on the line with Josh Jameson and Paul London take on Evan DeListico and Gary J. And former friends collide when Dylan Dunbar takes on Scotty Santiago. That's all Lone Star Classic 2013 this Sunday night in Austin, Texas. And finally, Beyond Wrestling returns this Sunday to Fet Music in beautiful Providence, Rhode Island, as they'll have the end of their Tournament for Tomorrow 2 finals. Here's what's already announced for the show with a 3 p.m. bell time. Actually, 4 p.m. bell time, I'm sorry. It will be 60-minute Iron Man match, Eddie Edwards versus Biff Busick. The Tournament for Tomorrow finals and a grudge match will be Tommaso Ciampa versus Chris Dickinson. First time ever, Michael Elgin versus Shaka. A 10-team tag team gauntlet featuring the Hoods, Minutemen, TDT, Team Tremendous, the Wingmen. There will be 3 WSU showcase matches.
Cool.
Eric Corvus will be there. And then Friday and Saturday, they're going to be taping the Tournament for Tomorrow. First round matches, including Green End versus Hania, Matthew Palmer versus Jules Malone, Anthony Stone versus Lexus, and on Saturday it'll be David Starr versus Christina Von Erie, Rory Mondo versus Kimberly, plus matches with Allison Kay, Candice LeRae, Darius Carter, Jesse Brooks, John Silver, and JT Dunn. That's all going down this weekend Beyond Wrestling.
Cool. Candice is back in.
And the big show is in Providence, Rhode Island at Fet Music, Sunday afternoon, 4 o'clock. And God damn it, that's everything that's going on. I think we just about covered it all here. So with that, man, I say we hit the fucking music and get on out of here.
All right.
So that's Uncle Mike. I'm Tom Richards. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week.
Ooh. You're keeping track. I turned 43 yesterday.
Yeah, happy belated birthday. 43 years old, man.
Oh,
43.
43 years young.
Young. We'll also have our boy Michael Falcone on.
My buddy.
Next week with a live review from IWS. Burger King and Arena 2. So much more.
ISW.
I'm sorry, ISW. I'm losing ISW. Yeah. Yeah, so we'll have a live review of Dragon Gate USA Sunday show, too, next week. And probably a guest from 2CW. And with that, man, yeah.
Ready to be no millionaire. I was ill prepared. I was prepared to be ill, though. The skill was there. The beginning, it wasn't about the ends. It was about busting raps and panic for something. Fucking acronym. Cut the fucking act like you're happy. I'm fucking back again with another end. So watch out when it doesn't have to end. It ain't over till I say it's over. Enough when I say enough. Throw me to the wolves and close the gate.
close to my goals, I can almost pole vault over the goalpost. And if I don't got enough in the tank, maybe I can just siphon enough to fill up this last can. Man, will I survive in this climate or what? They said I was washed up and got a bloodbath. I'm not a rapper, I'm an adapter. I can adjust, plus I can just walk up to a mic and just bust. So floor's open if you'd like to discuss top five in this motherfucker. And if I don't make the cut, what, look, I give a fuck. I'ma light this bitch off like I'm driving a truck to the side of a pump. 0 to 60, hopping and gunning like G-Unit without the hyphen. I'm hyping them up. And if there should ever come a time when my life's in a rut, and I look like I might just give up, it might have mistook me for bowing out. I ain't taking a bow, stabbing myself with a fucking knife in the gut while I'm wiping my butt. Cause I just did it on the mic and I like getting cut. I get excited at the sight of my blood. You're in a fight with a nut. Cause I'ma fight till I die, I win. Blood in the dust, it'll just make me angrier. Wait, let me remind you of what got me this far. Picture me quitting. I draw a circle around it and put a line to its smut. It's survival or what? Failure, cause every time I come close to it, I just sneeze, but I just go 1, 2, 3.